Well, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable, Lord, in your sight, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. So, I decided to do something a little different this week. I decided that I would preach on what I love to do. I haven't done that often, but I'm hoping it will give you a glimpse into the ministry that we have together in jail as I go in weekly, bringing the gospel, bringing hope to those who are incarcerated. I do that for the sake of the kingdom and in the hope of salvation for those to whom I am witnessing. And it really galls me to have to say that maybe the smiley face has something to it. You know, that stupid little yellow smiley face, you see them. I can't stand them. But if they represent the face of God, they would be a very good thing. Do you understand how hard it is for me to say that? Well, there it is. When I go into jail, my prayer is that I will be privileged to bring the smile of God to those who haven't seen it. It's a fairly modest goal, I think. And this past week, I prepared two messages, both of which I'm happy with. So my preparation wasn't cluttered by despair over what to preach, or did I have a word, or I had too many words, and I'm going to bless you by not preaching three sermons this morning. I'm just going to preach one. I had a message on the reasonableness of holiness. I'll tell you the thesis, and it's this. If you believe what you say you believe, then the only reasonable thing for you to do with your life is to pursue holiness. There's no other option. The second message had to do with the power of sin as it impacts our memory function. Now, some of us are confronting memory issues. And we wonder why it is we're forgetting so much. And I have a word for you about the power of sin to distort your memory function. That is to say, the power of sin can cause you to forget what you should remember and to remember what you should forget. Those two things. But the problem is not with the memory function. The problem lies with the power of sin. And so if you're going to deal with the malfunction that we're talking about, you have to deal with sin. And that means you have to go to Jesus and say, Lord, I have sinned. And I want you to take this sin out of me. I want you to forgive me. I want you to restore me. And then your memory will clear up. You will start to remember what you should remember. And you will start forgetting what you need to forget. Both are vital functions of the memory. But like I said, those are two theses. I have the draft. If you want one of those words, I can share it with you. Last week, not this past week, but the week before that, church was really rambunctious. They don't behave anywhere near as well as you folks do. They were loud and boisterous and all over the place and interrupting each other and cutting me off and interrupting and derailing. Yeah, it was a wild time. There were seven rather despondent ladies who showed up, and they were fighting for the mic. Every one of them wanted to talk about their own stuff. Now, church may be about many things, but I'm convinced it's not about your own stuff. It's about God's stuff. It's about what God has to say to us, is to hear from Him. We come to church to worship Him, not to look for therapy or help with our issues. So it was a constant battle. And then after the women came, we waited quite a while, and two rather hopeless men came down to church. And I spoke to them about Blessed Assurance, which was Sunday's message last week. It often performs a backdrop for what I share in jail. I wanted them to know that they could be sure that they were saved, or that they were part of the body of Christ, out of the evidence of their own lives. And that went pretty well, but it was a little wild as well. It was a wild meeting. But it did end up with someone from each of the services coming up to me and saying, "Wow, I didn't know church could be this meaningful. I need to come more often." So that was encouraging. Amen. I wasn't expecting anything out of that rambunctious crew, but they surprised me. And when we came to this week, and that's what I really want to focus on, Sue was feeling somewhat discouraged because attendance had been really sparse. You know, two men, two women, week after week, not the same ones, no continuity. But I was like really excited. I just had no reason to be excited, but I was excited. I was thinking, you know, I think something big is going to happen tonight. And as we were sitting there, it happened. Nine women came to church. That's right up on the top of attendance, you know, with, and they just kept coming. I mean, they just kept coming through the door. And I only knew two of them. So seven strangers, two friends, nine women. So later, when we waited for the men to come, we almost gave up waiting for them. And I said, no, Sue, it's okay. God's got this. And a whole pod came down. All seven men. That would be a really assorted box of chocolate. But seven men. And I had no idea where they were or where they were coming from. But they came, and we were ministering with them until 9:45 that evening. So it was a long, fruitful, wonderful time in the presence of the Lord. As you know, lights are out at 10:30, so we were kind of pushing it. And when I spoke about the impact that sin had on our memory function, you remember the message that I brought to the ladies, they were very helped, because together we explored how sin distorts and disfigures our memory. Remember, I said it causes us to forget the things we ought to remember. You know, the things like what God has done for us, how good He's been to us, how He's delivered us, how He's healed us and strengthened us and taught us and loved us. Now, we tend to forget that. Our memory of it grows dull. You know, tell me 10 things that God has done that's good for you this week. And people would go, and they'd freeze. Even though they know that 10 is probably a low number of the good things that God has done. Remember the infusion of His grace and love and forgiveness and power and insight and mercy and kindness and gentleness. And then on the other hand, some of you have had stinky thoughts, right? Things that popped up that you'd rather not think about, that you wish you had been able to really put behind, thought you had dealt with them and put them really behind you, but suddenly all of a sudden there they are right in front of you again. You thought you'd repented. It's something you've confessed. You've asked Jesus to remove it. You've asked him to forgive your trespasses. Remember? Forgive our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Those go together. Huh. We thought we dealt with it. They've been removed from us as far as the east is from the west. And what the heck are they doing on our main screen again? There they are. Unbidden. Unbeckoned. Unsought. Unwanted. It's awful, isn't it? I mean, for me it is. I just share that grief with you. I don't like revisiting that stuff. I don't like it being put in my face. Where did it come from? You know, when you finally get yourself to the place where you go to Jesus and you say, Lord, please have mercy on me, I've sinned. And he smiles on your request and he forgives you. And you experience this lightness, this buoyancy of spirit when you walk away knowing that the Lord has indeed dealt kindly with you. I'd much rather have that be my affect. I want the Lord to actually take things and put them in the pile of that which has been dealt with, and I don't have to deal with it again. I want to have release from my past. And how about the people who have sinned against us and we've forgiven? You know, whether they received it or not, I don't want that showing up again on my screen, like, this is something you need to deal with. Because I was really sorrowful and grieved for my sin, and grieved over hurting people and failing people. And the Lord administered to me in the moment, but why? Sin has brought it back. The power of sin puts this stuff back in front of me. Well, I think that's pretty vital information for us to have. The way to deal with it is to go back to Jesus and say, here I am again, Lord. I know we've been over this before, but I'm dealing with it showing up again. Please help me here. And he will help you. Well, I was trying to share this message, and I had two digressions, strategic interventions, disruptions, calls to riot, I guess is what I would call it. Because I think I was talking about something very important that the women needed to hear, and Satan did not want them to hear it. So this provocateur in the crowd, I knew who she was because she's always a provocateur. She's always stirring up trouble. And she said, do homosexuals go to heaven? Well, that's a showstopper. That's a Molotov cocktail thrown into the midst of your tea party. And I had to decide to how was I going to handle that? So what I did was respectfully and kindly say, that's a little off topic. I need you to know I'm not going to be dealing with that. But because you brought it up, I want to tell you how I try to approach the problem of human sin. What I try to do is I try to step past the sin, the immorality, the homosexuality, long enough to present the gospel and to give them hope that there might be deliverance from their bondage. It is more important for me to get the message of hope to them than it is to tell them that they've been naughty or bad or that they're under condemnation, all of which is true. It is true. It is an abomination to God. I know that, and they probably know that too. But what this woman was doing is trying to get people agitated and angry and upset and disrupt all kinds of conversation so that I would not be able to share the hope of salvation. I said, listen, I am more concerned with your soul than I am with your sexuality. Got that? Sex is for this world. We probably won't be bothering with it in the world to come. Phew! Okay, but you understand, there will be other pleasures and there will be other preoccupations than sex in heaven. Thank God. Yes, we might try worship and praise and fellowship, those kinds of things. So I said, for me to focus on those things is to major on the minors and forget the majors. The major is, will you be there? That's what I care about. Are you even going to be present? Because if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, that ain't happening. No matter what your sexual orientation is, no matter what your sin is, no matter what you've been into, it will not matter ultimately because you won't be there. I want you to be there. And I said, that enables me to minister in this setting without knowing what your orientation is or caring, not knowing what your criminal history is or caring. It means that I can try to engage with you as a soul that needs salvation apart from all of those sociological sin issues that may be absorbing your energy and your life. Let's talk about what really matters. Do you know Jesus? Well, it got really quiet in the room. And I was conscious, of course, that there were two practicing gays in the room. And the last thing I wanted to do was have them marginalized or isolated or highlighted or selected for whatever treatment might have followed. It wasn't in my interest to do that. That's not helpful. And I have talked with them. They are very clear about my understanding of Scripture on this matter. And I have cleared that with them and said, you know, when you get to the place that you can trust Jesus utterly, then maybe you can start to look at your sexuality. And out of that trust relationship with Jesus, maybe you can start to see where your sin begins and your salvation starts. Maybe. But let's deal with first things first. Jesus is first. That's what I love to do when I go into jail. Now, I need you to know there are a lot of people who say, well, I don't believe in hell, and that means I'm not going there. That's a big mistake. Just because you don't believe him, it doesn't mean it isn't real. You know, just because you don't believe in God doesn't mean that God doesn't exist. I got news for you. He's going to be dealing with you whether you believe in him or not. So, it's important to major on the majors. And so, some people are going to go to hell. They're going to do so because they choose to, because they're ignorant, because they live a life of folly and foolishness. I know, it's sad. And I do know that sexual sin is real. And I do know that right and wrong behavior matter. But I'm sure that the big deal down here will not be the big deal up there. So the second Molotov that was lobbed into the room, by the same woman, by the way. You see there's a pattern here? Okay. And it had to do with someone tampering with her mailbox, stealing her title to her car, taking it to the tow truck driver, and he handing it into the garage owner who submitted it to the state for a new title and stole the woman's car. She wanted me to get into her stuff, right? Do you see that? I have to not do that. So I looked at her and I said, I'm sorry that you've had this experience. I said, but I'm not here to adjudicate anything. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. But let me tell you, sister, what I would do. I would treat this theft as an accident. Just deal with it as something that happens. And don't let it matter all that much. Because if you can deal with it as something that doesn't matter all that much, you will keep your balance, you will keep your focus, and you'll be able to pursue your cause more effectively through the system. And you should do that. You should pursue this because you've been robbed. And apparently you've been defrauded. And surely there's something there for you to work with. That was the end of the second digression. Well, we got back on track. And I started to ask the ladies to think about the things that they were remembering that they should have forgotten because they've been forgiven. And I reminded them that the power of sin is able to somehow go on the internet of your being and search out this data and regroup it, reintegrate it, and reproject it onto your screen. That's what the power of sin can do. And when that happens, you have this experience of shock and surprise. It's like you've been ambushed. Yeah, that's right. You have been. That's exactly what's happened. The accuser of the brethren is cyber savvy. Did you hear me? He is cyber savvy. He doesn't know anything you don't put in, but he knows everything that you did put in, and he can use it to his advantage to bring you into condemnation, and that's what he will try to do. All right. Well, if that's his device, and we know it, we should arm ourselves to defend ourselves against it. Amen? We should know what to do when that pops up. All right. So let me remind you. If you are confronted with something that you've confessed and asked forgiveness for, the guilt that you are being asked to experience is false guilt. Label it and deal with it as such. It's real, but it's false. So you take it back to the Lord and you say, hey, here it is again, and let the Lord take care of it. And by his forgiveness, you will get the other side of that affliction. So how do we deal with sin? Oh, directly. That's right. And we deal with it directly by what? By repentance, confession, and forgiveness. We know what to do. So let's do it. And then trust that you know the outcome, which is that you are free. You put it under the blood. You repent again, and you ask him to cleanse you of it and set you free. That's right. Think of it this way. You can cut the wires on the device. You understand? You can disarm the bomb. You can. So do it. And you do it by going to Jesus. What does the enemy hope to do by bringing all of this up again? He wants to belittle you. He wants to fill you with resentment. He wants you to feel regret. He wants you to wallow in bitterness. He wants to tempt you to avenge yourself. Brothers and sisters, just say no. I know it sounds really dumb, but it isn't. No, it's not dumb. It's the right thing to do. It's the powerful thing to do. It's the effective thing to do. So do it. The Lord has already vindicated us, remember? Remember that you were forgiven. Remember that you were vindicated. Remember that it's been put as far as the east is from the west. Remember the facts of the case. And you will not be distressed by the distraction. I want a word of grace to enter your hearts. You are not responsible for what pops up on the screen. You are responsible for not deleting it. So when it pops up, deal with it and delete it. Be done with it. Now, the other arm of sin's disruption of memory is that we forget what we ought to remember. I did not count, Thomas, because it would have been really onerous. The number of times in Scripture that God says, remember. Remember me. Remember my law. Remember my ordinance. Remember my statutes. Remember my commandments. Remember, remember. Do not forget. Tie them like a... on your frontlet, you know. Yeah, remember. So we understand our tendency to forget is earmarked in Scripture. So we do tend to forget the good stuff. Remember that. I have a tendency to forget the good stuff. What do I need to do about that? Repent. You know, and say, okay, got it. I'm going down the wrong road here. I need to start focusing on the positive things that God has done for me. And we start slipping because, well, we're lazy. Yeah, we let these things sort of fester because we're lazy. Stop being lazy. Refresh, renew your mind as you have been commanded to do. Remember Romans 12, verse 2? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what is the will of God, which is good and acceptable and perfect. Okay, so you listen to all of this garbage from the world. Okay, time yourself. Now, put an equal amount of time into listening to the Word of God. Just even it up. You know, okay, I spent half an hour on Fox News. I need an anecdote here. Where do I find? Oh, the Bible. It's the Word of God. I'll read the Word of God. I'll read that for 30 minutes. Okay. I'm sorry, I'm not picking on Fox News. It could be worse. But you understand what I'm referring to, don't you? Now, do you know how headstrong we are? How prejudiced we are? We think of ourselves as brains. You are not a brain. You have a brain. You are a human being. And a human being is a being who has a brain. It's on one part of his anatomy, one part of his being. You are much more than your brain. So this emphasis on renewing your mind, we tend to think, oh yes, well I just need to change how I'm thinking. No, you need to change how you're perceiving. You need to change how you're processing. You need to change how you're hearing and tasting and smelling and walking and living. You need a change that affects the totality of your being. Transform all of me that I may be a new creature in Christ. It isn't just what's going on in my head. How many times have we gotten to the place where we said, oh well, we told them what was right and wrong and we thought they'd do it? Are you kidding me? What? You think that just knowing what is right means you're going to do what's right? Do you have any evidence for that? I have none. None. Not just little. Okay. So if you want to overcome your low spirits. Remember? Oh, my soul, why are you cast down? Why are you disquieted within me? If you want to deal with that, what you need to do is to get into the Word of God and seek His face. One look at Him and your spirits will lift. So seek Him. Let Him know you want to see Him. Show me yourself, Lord. Show me your face. That's what it says in Psalm 42, that His smile changes everything. And that's why I've had to repent about those stupid smiley faces. I mean, if they could remind people about God, that would be a very good thing. The gospel is not a cognitive event. The gospel is more than mindful. In fact, this is what Scripture says. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is. The power of God unto salvation. And you remember, I was preaching recently in 2 Peter chapter 1. God has, out of his almighty power, given you everything necessary for life and godliness. What did he give you? Everything necessary for what? For life and godliness. What are you lacking? Can you say nothing? Okay. So if we're lacking nothing, we need to get on with the program, right? What's the program? Oh, I'm supposed to grow in life, and I'm supposed to grow in godliness. So I'm talking to the men now. And I said, you guys have been on vacation for most of your life. You are so unapplied to the call of God on your life. He's called you to be godly. He's called you to be Christ-like. He's called you to be lively, healthy, vigorous. He's called you to all of these great and wonderful things, and you are sitting on your hands and pouting. Just saying. The power of God unto salvation. Everything we need for life and godliness has been provided. When Jesus saved you, how much of you did he save? Oh, I thought it was all. Oh, okay. Not just the part that I showed him, but even the part that I hid from him at the time, that was saved too? Oh, you mean my mind, my feelings, my body, my spirit, my everything? Yes. Yes, that's what I mean. The gospel. I try to present the gospel because it is the power of salvation to all who believe. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't feel how discouraged you are. I don't care how beaten you feel. The word of hope, the word of promise has been spoken to you in Jesus Christ. You need to stand up. You need to get up. You need to walk. Because everything needful for you to do that has been given to you. We sing, Jesus never fails. Well, do you believe that? Yeah, okay. I believe that. Do you believe that the power of the gospel never diminishes? Well, now that you put it that way, I don't know. Okay, well, it doesn't. Because it's an everlasting gospel. The flame doesn't flicker. The flame doesn't go out. The flame doesn't dim. It burns brighter and brighter until the fullness of noon. You know that? That's what's written in Scripture. Exceeding great and precious promises God has given us. So what's under your Christmas tree? Trinkets? Or the promises of God? Wow. Well, let's put the promises of God there. They're like fuel rods in a nuclear reactor. I think you know what I mean. The power of God unto salvation for all who believe. All right. Well, thank you for letting me share with you what I love to do. 9 women, 7 men went to church this past week. It's huge. I want to tell you that the video room flamed with light and it wasn't from the fluorescent tubes. Remember this, beloved. God in his mercy sent his son to make atonement for us lost sinners. And with his precious blood he paid for our sins. And by faith in him, our sins are forgiven. Our hearts are purged. Our souls are cleansed. No sin was left uncovered. No sin was missed. No sin was excluded. It was all entirely paid for by Jesus. And after 3 days in a borrowed tomb, notice he doesn't have a tomb, 3 days in the grave, Jesus rose in resurrection power and glory and presented himself to many. Death was defeated by Jesus. Everlasting life was secured by Jesus. The divine nature is conveyed by Jesus. Do you recognize what I'm telling you? This is the gospel. Wow. This is all that God has undertaken for us. And if we are saved and forgiven and set free and made new, that is the ground of our hope. Do you have that hope? I pray that you do. Because this is the bridge that God has thrown across the abyss between that sinful world and his holiness. Listen, I tell you, God is calling, God is beckoning everyone who believes to come to him. Everyone, he says, come home to me. I want to extend that invitation to you today. Today, go home to him. You can do it every single day. Many times a day, you can go home to him. Go home to him. Be with him. Love on him. And be loved by him. So when I get to this point in the sermon, I said, is there anything left I need to say? Yes, it's this. I want to ask you, will you? Okay. I want you to not only respond to the invitation yourself, but I want you to pledge to take this invitation to the miserable, the hopeless, and the despairing around you. You know who I mean. I want you to extend an invitation to them, an opportunity to them. What an occasion that will be. Amen? Today is the day of salvation for all who will believe. So you got a reservation. Use it. God bless you. Amen.